And now it's time for Power of Prophecy, continuing the legacy of Tex Mars, exposing evil, and promoting Jesus Christ as Savior. Here's your host, Jerry Barrett.
Hello, friends, and welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. I'm your host, Jerry Barrett. Honored to have you join me again this week. I have got a huge topic, and there's no way that I could do it justice, so I have asked my buddy Pat McShay to come on. We're going to discuss Israeli atrocities are never ending. This is going to be a two-hour program, so buckle up, get you a fresh beverage, and get ready to have your socks knocked off. Pat, welcome to Power of Prophecy.
Hey, it's great to be back, Jerry.
I came across an article, and honestly, Pat, you can't find this in our controlled media, can you?
No.
Nothing that is anywhere negative towards the Israel project, the greater Israel project, or our staunch ally, the only democratic ally we have in the Middle East, blah, blah, blah. It's a bunch of horse hockey. It's a theocracy, not a democracy. And they are vile anti-Christian people. But in this article from a Russian publication, get this, Vice President J.D. Vance said Israel may lose its status as a special ally of the United States. It says Vance noted only Donald Trump currently sympathizes with Israel and that Israel is demanding that we continue our strikes on Iran. So did J.D. sign a death warrant, or do you think he's just trying to posture with the anti-make-Israel-great-again crowd?
Well, he could be positioning himself for part of his new platform when he runs for president, because I think the anti-Israel platform is going to be more popular than ever in America. Most Americans don't understand that there's been no deal struck with Iran or why Israel has violated the ceasefire the day after Trump signed the agreement. Israel's goal is regime change in Iran and taking over the rest of the Middle East. I mean, that's part of the greater Israel project. And that's why, you know, the whole thing went into a full swing after 9/11. I wrote in my article, 9/11, All Roads Lead to Israel, that Israel planned 9/11 as a false flag event to trigger regime change in seven countries that George Bush the Dumber, along with high-level neocon traitors in our government, in his administration, had planned before 9/11. The attack on Iraq was just the first. Iran was one of the countries that they wanted to take out. And yeah, we talked about Jeffrey Sachs, who's a Jewish political scientist and professor, and he agrees that any lasting peace in the Middle East requires rejecting Israel's ideology of the Greater Israel Project. And he contends, like I have for years, that, you know, decades of conflict in Gaza, Lebanon, Syria, and Iraq have all been driven by this push for a greater Israel project, which is stealing land and killing Muslims. Yeah, that's where we are today. And Israel, I don't think will ever go along with any of these ceasefires.
No, they're killing Christians too. A lot of people don't want to accept that. And the Christian Zionists in this country that continue to flood Israel with American dollars have no clue how much their own demise they are funding. But until Israel gets what it wants for its Greater Israel Project, then they have no need to come over and destroy this country. But I say that, But Thomas Massey and Ro Khanna, you want to talk about an odd couple. They created an amendment for Section 219 of the NDAA, and the House Rules Committee put the kibosh on it, didn't they?
Yeah, they tried to put a kibosh on the merging of Israel's and the United States military and intelligence communities, which would pretty much put Israel in the driver's seat and complete the coup that I believe has been going on since 9/11. There's been an Israel takeover of our country, our politicians, you know, the whole, which was exposed by the Jeffrey Epstein files that prove that our politicians are blackmailed, threatened, bribed. And which ones? Well, we don't know because Donald Trump still refuses to release these records. We would know. Matter of fact, the Russians know, the Chinese know, and Iran says that they now possess all of the Jeffrey Epstein documents, pictures, and video. So they may be in the process of blackmailing Trump right now, too. So Trump's being torn by his masters in Israel, and now his blackmailers in Russia, China, and Iran. You know that the original detective, lead detective on the Jeffrey Epstein investigation in Palm Beach back around 2006, he died mysteriously at a fairly young age. It frightened his partner, who was also privy to all that information. He made copies, 14 terabytes of documents, emails, text messages, pictures, videos, and took them all and defected to Russia back over a decade ago. So the Russians, we know, have all of this information. So all of these people are blackmailable by any number of countries. Pretty frightening.
Very. You know, I have stated on here, and you have as well, that this was a Mossad operation, that the control over everything inside the Beltway, from the military-industrial complex to the finances to our lawmakers, as well as the potentate himself, Donald Trump, have all come under the control of Israel. And by the House Rules Committee blocking this amendment that would cease and desist integrating our intelligence and military with Israel, it proves first and foremost that Israel firsters control Congress, and that the American people don't matter. We don't count for two wits.
Right. And it shows why they are getting rid of Marjorie Taylor Greene, Thomas Massey, Lauren Boebert, all these people, all these congressmen that used to support Trump that would not vote for this new merger between our defense intelligence with Israel, and they're getting rid of all those people. I don't think any of the Democrats would vote for it, but as long as they keep putting in these Israel firsters, they could pass all this legislation, and this country would change overnight. But I think that's what's coming, and I think it's all happening for a reason. I think that's why AI is taking over, and why all these data centers, which are nothing but spy centers, are being built. Cameras are going up everywhere. We're going to be under 24/7 surveillance. Our travel is going to be limited. 15-minute cities are in our future. It's going to be a total police state. And if they finally pass the CBDC digital currency, we will be slaves to this new system that is going to go worldwide and control probably in Tel Aviv, which is really frightening.
Right. You know, I had Donald Jeffries on a couple weeks ago, and he brought up a meme that he had seen online from George Orwell saying, I wrote this 1984. I wrote this book as a warning, not an instruction manual.
I just read his new article on Jim Fetzer's site. I've been reading him for years. He's fantastic.
But it's an instruction manual, and that's, man, you talk about it. We've got the cameras going up everywhere. You know, everybody freaked out when London put up their CCTV system so that they could watch the entirety of the city of London. But it's quietly been happening in America. Now we have these flock cameras. But there's no protesting it. It's all, Pat, this goes back to 9/11 and the aftermath with the Patriot Act. Nobody bats an eye when they fly somewhere going through x-rays and getting screened and patted down and their entire batch of luggage is gone through and checked and made sure that, well, there's no potential terrorist. There were no terrorists to start with. This was all part of the plan to control us. And then they got a little braver and let's throw out this scamdemic. Yeah, let's see how much these sheeple will fall for this, and boom, there you go. Now, all of a sudden, we lose all of our civil liberties willingly because we want to be protected. We want security. We want a false sense of security over actual security.
Yeah, another great Orwell quote that was fortuitous when he said, you know, when this abuse is happening, that we will be too distracted to look up from our screens. Have you ever seen that quote?
No, but that's perfect, because if you go out anywhere, people walking down the sidewalk, you don't know if they're going to run into you, if they're going to get hit by a car because they weren't paying attention. Everybody is looking at their phone.
You go to a
restaurant, everybody's on a phone or a tablet.
Yeah, it's really crazy. And after they want us, they want us all distracted. We get bombarded with Israel, poor little Israel. Did you see Mark Levin the other day? Mark Levin put out a video that said, why are we picking? He said, poor little Israel. He actually said that. And it just was disgusting. But these people continue to just paint Israel as this poor little island of democracy in the middle of all these terrorists and bad guys. I mean, the whole narrative is just ridiculous. Israel controls everything in their orbit, and they're backed by the U.S. military. And they've got all the best weapons. They've got the Apache helicopters, gunships, they've got the tanks, the best tanks in the world, they've got the best fighter jets. I mean, they got the best of everything, and now they are bombing this city while we're told that they're being abused by the Palestinians. It's laughable if it wasn't so tragic.
Exactly. Now, there was a post from Afer Kasif on Twitter, and he wrote that M.K. Galit Destel Atbarian of the Likud Party brought forth a law to the Knesset that would prohibit the Red Cross from visiting Palestinian prisoners. But why would they want to prohibit the Red Cross from visiting these prisoners?
Yeah, you know, this is something I think we talked about before, too. You know, during World War II, because of complaints by international bodies, the Germans allowed the Red Cross to put offices in all of the concentration camps where they kept detailed records of deaths, how they died, how old they were, whether they were male or female, their age, very detailed records. And they also said that number of dead total, including Jews and gypsies and homosexuals and Russians and all the people, they said was 280,000. And they never mentioned the gas chambers in any of their reports, which were later completely debunked by Fred Münter in the Münter report that came out in 1988. So we're just fed nonsense, and people have to learn the truth about what's really going on.
And that's why we're going to have this two-hour program, because I want you to be able to get a copy, make copies, and pass them out. We need to educate as many people as we can about these atrocities. And the thing that got me, the comment that this member of the Knesset wrote was, it would be a PR disaster for the state of Israel. And there are pictures of these Palestinians. They're awful reminiscent of the pictures that you saw that emanated from World War II.
Yeah, matter of fact, just recently, I wrote about both of these. 17-year-old boy just died in an Israeli prison of starvation. Another, a 6-year-old boy who was in a Israeli prison. I just saw this headline not too long ago. It was determined that he had died of starvation. They starved the 6-year-old boy to death. Children are not immune to the torture and the rape that goes on among the adult prisoners. The children are treated and abused every day, just like the adults. And these people that are released from these prisons, they say that they are awakened at 5-6 in the morning, and immediately they're being beaten, they're being sexually humiliated, they're being randomly picked out for specialized torture, rape, sodomy. It's just disgusting. And, you know, we don't hear anything about these things because our media has demonized the UN. They demonize these other groups like Human Rights Watch. But all these groups, they keep coming forward with these detailed reports. Just recently, there was a report by the UN, another one by Physicians for Human Rights Israel, that confirmed that Israelis are torturing, abusing, and sexually violating Palestinian prisoners. They've got eyewitness testimony. Not only that, the Israelis brag about this stuff. They go on, they make videos bragging about shooting children in the head. They brag about torturing people. And when they arrested 5 Israeli soldiers for gang sodomizing a prisoner, and they know they did it because the prosecutor was so unnerved and disgusted by what she saw on the video, she leaked it to the media, and the people in Israel demanded that the prisoners be let loose, even in light of the video that they had all sexually violated this man and almost killed him. And they released all 5 of them who started appearing on Israeli television as celebrities. So this stuff is just crazy. And, you know, just recently, a young doctor named Adnan Burish, who was an orthopedic surgeon, a married father of 2 young sons, was tortured and sodomized to death in an Israeli prison. They currently have about 92 doctors who were kidnapped in Gaza from hospitals and clinics that are currently being held, many of them for up to a year and a half, 2 years, and one of them has just been sentenced to death, and they're going to carry out his sentence if it's not stopped pretty quick. So they are literally just killing doctors whose only crime was trying to save Palestinian lives. So this stuff is just unbelievable.
The atrocities that are permitted, the fact that these soldiers were lionized, that they were regarded as heroes, shows the depravity of the multitude of residents in the tiny nation of Israel.
Real quick, these doctors that are coming back, a lot of these doctors are from England and America. And, you know, a young American doctor I just read an interview with who was working in Gaza said nearly every day he was there, a new young child who had been shot in the head or the chest was brought in to the emergency room where he worked. Nearly all of them went on to die, and dozens of other doctors and courageous medical volunteers in Gaza have said the same thing. So doctor after doctor has given interviews about this stuff, and the Israelis continue to deny it, but they deny all of these atrocities where there is a mountain of evidence that these things are happening.
I've got some figures that I want to put out here for Pat and I to discuss. Since the ceasefire of October 11, 2025, this was a ceasefire in Gaza. These are the official numbers. Now, Pat has different numbers, but these are what has been released officially through the news. At least 1,031 people have died since October 11, 2025. Of that, 247 are children and 191 are women. They say approximately 73,000 people have died since October 6th or October 7th of 2023, including 22,000 children and 33,000 women and girls. This brings to mind from a movie, there was a quote, and they asked this soldier, how do you shoot women and children? And his reply was, you don't lead them as much. But that's the mindset of the IDF, isn't it?
Yeah, they laugh about it. And I wrote a while back, in 2019, I wrote about how an Israeli general named Fogel admitted that they ordered their snipers to shoot little kids. And they have shot kids as young as toddlers. And they shoot kids through windows. These are kids that are sitting in their, you know, in their living room. They shoot them through the window. So they're also ordered to shoot journalists, and they're shooting medical workers, paramedics that have medic across their chest and their back in big bold letters. They wear yellow vests, bright yellow vests. So there's no way that they don't know that these people are media or whether they're medical workers, and they're shooting and killing them. So, yeah, it's all part of their program, and they deny this stuff. But again, Israeli soldiers admit to this stuff. You can find it all over social media. You can find videos on YouTube. And not only that, they give interviews to Israeli TV stations and newspapers admitting these atrocities. So it's not a big secret. It's only a secret in America.
Exactly.
Because the media here refuses to tell the truth, and it's just disgusting.
Exactly. The controlled media in this country would cut off every donation to Israel from the majority of Americans who claim they're Christians, if they knew the veracity of these atrocities. And there was a post, and you said you can find these videos and posts on Twitter. I saw a video of EMS or EMTs, ambulance people, going to the scene of an accident. And when they got there and they got out of their vehicle, one of the medics actually had his camera on his phone recording, and they shot every one of those medics. And it was on video, and somebody got the phone and posted it on Twitter, whether it was an Israeli because he was happy that he did it, or somebody that was a Palestinian that wanted the truth out there. But there was a post, and it was, let's see, the Resonance retweeted it. They got an image, they did a screenshot of this post from this person, and he wrote, quote, "People call us baby killers, but you know what? They're not wrong, and we should not be ashamed of it. I'm proud to be one because this is what Hashem ordered, to kill the Amalek. That includes men, women, baby, animals, and even their trees. I served in the IDF in Gaza with the 84th Givati Brigade, and not many of us saw any issues with it. In fact, we were encouraged at times. I feel no emotion when it comes to this. They need to be dead, and we need all of our land back. All of it. Eretz Israel." This was his post.
Yeah, they're poisoning wells. You know, they were poisoning wells back in the 40s, Palestinian and Lebanese wells. They're using banned illegal white phosphorus bombs. They're booby trapping food and toys. They're blowing up kids. They're shooting Palestinians who line up for the food assistance. The atrocities just are never ending. And, you know, you just can't believe when you read some of the stuff that it's really happening. But, you know, Christopher Hitchens, who was a long time investigative reporter in the Middle East and lived for a time in Israel, worked there, he said that the Israelis lie about everything. He said they lie about little things, they lie about big things, and they lie about things where they have a mountain of evidence proving that they're lying, and they still lie. So you just can't believe a thing they say, unfortunately. So, you know, I certainly don't.
You know, the sad thing is, Pat, the media in Israel celebrates these atrocities. But it is never allowed, and it's probably our controlled media is complicit in not putting these items out there for Americans to consume, because we have to hide the truth from these namby-pamby Israel firsters, and we need to keep sending money back to Israel and yada, yada, yada. This is the thing that aggravates me the most, Pat, is the fact that you and I are not afraid to go down the rabbit hole and go digging and looking. I told you some of the places that you have to go. You go to Al Jazeera. You go through Twitter. Some of these reporters are trying to get the message out. If they're not shadow banned or just completely blocked, they're trying to get this truth out there. But more and more, this information is falling on deaf ears, and that is why I've asked Pat to come on this program so we can discuss this, so we can put this out there for everybody to disseminate with their friends, their family, and their neighbors. And we have flown through 30 minutes. We have to take a pause. My guest today is Pat McShay. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. When we come back, we're going to dive right back in. Stay with us, won't you? We'll be right back. On a cold Wednesday afternoon, March 10, 1948, a group of 11 men veteran Zionist leaders, together with young military Jewish officers, put the final touches on a plan for the ethnic cleansing of Palestine. That same evening, military orders were dispatched to units on the ground to prepare for the systematic expulsion of Palestinians from vast areas of the country. The orders came with a detailed description of the methods to be used to forcibly evict the people. There would be large-scale intimidation, laying siege to and bombarding villages and population centers, setting fires to homes, properties, goods, expelling residents, demolishing homes, and finally, planting mines in the rubble to prevent the expelled inhabitants from returning. Each unit was issued its own list of villages and neighborhoods to target in keeping with the master plan. The plan, which covered both the rural and urban areas of Palestine, was the inevitable result of Zionism's ideological drive for an exclusively Jewish presence in Palestine. Clashes with local Palestinian militias provided the perfect context and pretext for implementing the ideological vision of an ethnically cleansed Palestine. Once this plan was finalized, it took 6 months to complete the mission. When it was over, more than half of Palestine's native population, over 750,000 people, had been uprooted. 531 villages had been destroyed. 11 urban neighborhoods had been emptied of their inhabitants. This is in the book, The Ethnic Cleansing of Palestine by Ilan Pappe. It is 320 pages. We're only asking $20. Please add $6 shipping and handling. That will make your total $26. You can order your copy by phoning us toll-free in the United States and Canada at 1-800-234-9673. Again, that's 1-800-234-9673. If you care to phone our regular line, that number is 512-263-9780. We're in the office Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Central Time. We accept Visa, MasterCard, Discover, and American Express. You can use those charge cards at our secure shopping cart by going to powerofprophecy.com. There's an ad for the ethnic cleansing of Palestine right there on the main page. Click on it, put in your name, address, charge card, shipping method, hit submit. We'll get it and get it coming to you. If you care to send in a check, money order, or cash, please make your check or money order payable to Power of Prophecy, and you can mail it to us here at 4819 R.O. Drive, Suite 102, Spicewood, Texas, and our zip code is 78669. $26 postpaid for the ethnic cleansing of Palestine. Okay, and now let's return to our regular program. My guest today is Pat McShay. Pat, welcome back.
Hey, Jerry. Great to be back.
Now, before we dive right back in, I want to tell everybody how to find Pat on Twitter. You go to @J_McShay, McShay. He's continually posting things. He's reposting articles that you really need to read, and it will help you in your journey down the rabbit hole that, well, basically both of us are encountering. And so knowledge is power, and if you follow Pat on Twitter, you will be able to see the enormity of what is going on. And you can start telling people about the truth, about the atrocities that are happening at the behest of Israel and Israel firsters. There was a post from Declassified UK talking about Chris Sidoti. He is a human rights expert and a lawyer. And he claimed that any dual citizen should be suspected of war crimes if they have served in the Israeli Defense Forces since October 2023 because of the torture and the violence and the sodomy that's been going on with these prisoners from the genocide in Gaza.
Yeah, they're going after anybody that isn't going along with this. They're targeting international bodies. They've already debanked people at the International Criminal Court. The people who are trying to do something about these atrocities, our own politicians who are totally controlled at this point, are going after the people who are trying to stop, you know, these atrocities. It's just unbelievable, but these investigations are falling on deaf ears here because, you know, the UN has been demonized for years in America, and rightly so. I mean, granted, much of it's been deserved, but they're dismissing solid evidence, eyewitness testimony of kids getting shot in the head, supporters, systemic rape, the sexual humiliation of prisoners, torture, starvation of prisoners, water deprivation. Again, this stuff's happening, and our politicians, rather than step in and force Israel to stop these atrocities, they only want to stop the people who are criticizing them. So that tells you where our politicians are. They're totally controlled. Now, whether they're being blackmailed or not, people can say, well, I can't believe they're being blackmailed. What else could it be? They're either being blackmailed or they're being threatened. You know, people say, why is Amy Coney Barrett and John Roberts siding with the Democrats on, you know, this immigration, birthright citizenship? Well, maybe they're controlled. I thought John Roberts has been controlled for over a decade. And Amy Coney Barrett, ever since Trump picked her for the Supreme Court, she's voted with the Democrats or the Liberals on almost 90% of all the important cases. So, you know, the same thing's happening at the criminal court, threatening these people to, they want them to renege on these warrants for the arrest of Bibi Netanyahu and Ben Gavir and Smotrich and all these leaders, Gallant, the former prime minister. Gallant is being sought after because of his war criminal past. And even he says they've gone too far with the genocide in Gaza. You've got all these people saying, oh, it's not a genocide in Gaza. You know, every genocide and Holocaust professor in the world, including in Israel, they've all called this a genocide. Jewish authors, the former head of the Israeli Mossad has called it a genocide. So anyone who's not on board with that, you've been propagandized and lied to. Reassess your thinking. You know, people need to wake up because this is going to get nowhere but worse.
Exactly. You know, Pat was talking about the attacks on the International Criminal Court. There's a prosecutor named Karim Khan. His wife and children were threatened by Israel. And he also said that 12 U.S. senators have threatened him and his family if he continues to pursue legal action and arrests of Israeli leaders for the genocide in Gaza. If you want to know who is in control, find out who is untouchable.
Right. You know, this unfortunately is nothing new. You know, they've been blaming things on the Muslims for years, like the bombing of the Cole, USS Cole. The USS Liberty was called a grave mistake. The bombing, the Beirut bombing of the Marine barracks that killed 260-some-odd Marines, the false flag attack on 9/11, These things were all Israeli false flags. And Israel is known for their false flag attacks. They've admitted to attacking Jews in other countries to drive them to Israel to live where they're told they can live safely, where it's safe. You know, it's a lot like Operation Gladio, where NATO and the U.S. were blowing up train stations and cafes filled with women and children so they could change laws, so they could bring in the military, so they could start, you know, their new police state in Italy back in the 60s. So just like after 9/11, we had the Patriot Act that had nothing to do with patriotism, but what it did do was it brought in a new police state, and we've been under this new coup or police state that started in 2001, and it's done nothing but get worse since, and it looks, our future just looks bleak from here on out if something isn't done.
Right. People, Pat, I've seen the writing on the wall. You know, Tex probably more than anybody helped open my eyes to this, because it's without controlled media fessing up and telling the truth. I didn't actively go to Al Jazeera and look and see what they wrote. I didn't go to the Jerusalem Post to see what they wrote. I didn't go to Mondavice to see what was written, because there's no way, you know, I just can't believe that somebody would be so opposed to the decency of being a human that these atrocities could occur. But then I read about, and you mentioned it in the first half of this program, about poisoning the wells. Well, Menachem Begin, when he, way before he became prime minister, was in the
terrorist.
Yeah, he was a terrorist in the Ergun gang. And
he was blowing up buildings.
Yeah, he would kill people and throw the bodies into the well and poison the well so that there was no drinking water for the residents that got away from them.
Right.
And this has been going on since the 40s. And prior to that, if you read historical books about Palestine, Muslims, Christians, and Jews lived peacefully in Palestine. There was no theocracy. They just existed. They had their farms. They had their lands that had been in the family for thousands of years. And so they continually farmed, they bartered with each other, they traded with each other, and they coexisted until the Balfour Declaration and then everything else that was brought forth by Herzl and the Zionist World Council was to push to have a homeland for the Jews.
Yeah, even before the Balfour Declaration was signed around at the end of World War One, the Rothschild family had bought up thousands and thousands of acres in and around Jerusalem. And by the end of World War Two, they had an entire Jewish presence with, you know, buildings and manufacturing and water treatment and, you know, the whole nine yards, and they were already taking in certain Jews, but they did not want just any Jew. People need to understand that the Jews that died in the concentration camps were not Zionist Jews. They were low-class, poor Jews that Israeli, young country of Israel did not want those people. And so they could have brought those people to Israel, and they said, no, They wanted the sacrifice of those people because they knew that it would serve them well in the future. And since then, they have used the Holocaust to basically blackmail and, you know, bend people over to get churches to send them money. They, you know, cities in America, people don't know this. Cities across the country, not states, not the federal government, cities across the country are being forced to send billions of dollars to Israel every year. I just read an article about a small town in Texas, you may have read about this, where they found the city leaders, the new mayor found out that they had sent millions of dollars to Israel out of their city budget. And he said, we need to stop this. So he stopped it. And they said the governor overrode him and said, you cannot stop this money. You have to keep this money flowing to Israel. The governor, have you heard that story?
No, I have not, but I'm going to have to dig into it.
I'll send it over to you. Yep, that happened recently, fairly recently. And the governor said, just like the boycott, divestment, and sanctions protests and different boycotts that they were doing, the states jumped in and made those illegal. So now you can't boycott Israel, whether you know, hate them or not, because our government forces you to use government contractors, Israeli contractors. They force you to deal with Israel or else large fines or they put you out of business. People need to know this stuff. They're telling us what to do across the board, business-wise, foreign policy-wise. They've been controlling our domestic scene for years. International Jews are behind this immigration, forced immigration. These Jewish oligarchs, Jewish billionaires are funding all of this forced immigration across the European Union. They're forcing them into America, and no one is doing anything about it. You've got Catholic charities that are making hundreds of millions of dollars off of this agenda. I see no end in sight. And now, you know, the birthright citizenship, 1.5 million people is what they estimate have been born here through the program where China sends over pregnant women to have children here, babies here. And now that there are 1 million or 1.5 million of them, they take them back to China where they grow up, probably hating America. But as soon as they turn 18 as American citizens, they can start voting in our elections. Now, how smart is that?
If you...
our politicians are trying to destroy America. Everything they're doing tells us that this agenda is to destroy America, destroy nationalism, destroy patriotism, destroy everything about our pride in our country. And you can already see it. These polls recently show that half of the country is not even proud to live in America. These people have no idea how good they have. I've seen interviews with these people from England and Europe coming over here for the soccer matches. And they're all saying, America is great. I want to come here. I hate Europe after coming to America. They love it here. So this nonsense that Americans hate America, you know, we should tell them to get out and bring in some of these people from Ireland and the UK and Germany that love America when they visit here.
Yeah, I've seen those videos, and there is a German fellow that has trekked across the country and done, I don't know, TikTok videos or whatever, and he is just enamored with the people, with the food, with the benefits that we have in this country. And if you've read anything about immigrants who came here legally and have gone through the process to become a citizen, they are more patriotic and appreciative of what we have in this country than those who were born and raised here. We have no concept of the struggle that these people have gone through.
Oh, you mentioned the food. These Europeans, just all the way down to the size of the portions you get here and the refills on Coke and soft drinks, they said in Europe, this, you know, these guys say, I don't even get enough food in Europe to fill me up. And after you drink, finish your drink, your Coke, you can't get another one. You got to pay full price for it. They're blown away with everything.
It's very refreshing to see all of, and I've seen a number of them. I haven't seen the German guy in particular, but I've seen people from Britain. There are some that are here in Texas to watch England play in Dallas, I think, is, or Houston, one of the two. But they're posting on Facebook, and Americans are reaching out to them. They're taking them for boat rides. They're taking them to their to their land and putting them on four-wheelers and letting them enjoy what America is.
I think you saw the song. I watched, I've seen a number of those videos and where they did all that stuff, the four-wheelers. They can't believe all the lakes, and they can't believe all the, just everything. They're blown away. Every state, this one couple from England has been to like 20 states, and they're blown away by how different every state is and how different the food is and how every state has certain specialty foods that other states don't have as much of, and the Texas barbecue and the New Orleans big boils with shrimp and lobster and the, you know, the pool boy sandwiches and just, you know, the whole culture of, you know, living near the water of the Gulf of Mexico, Gulf of America, and along the coast of the Atlantic, and they're all blown away. And one couple said that they can't believe that they hear that Americans don't appreciate living here. They just can't believe it.
Right. And every one of them will say that Europe owes you an apology because we have been lied to our entire life. If you go to America, you're going to get shot. You're going to get robbed. You're going to get raped. You're going to get arrested.
That's all they see on the news, they say. Negative reports about American crime and how scary it is and how dangerous it is. And all of them say, and some of these couples aren't staying in real posh areas. And they go to poor areas, they go all over, and they just can't believe how friendly people are and how wonderful the experience is. And they can't wait to come back.
Right. Then I watched one. I know this is a rabbit hole that we have totally gotten off topic, but this goes to show how good we have it here. But this Briton gentleman goes to a diner, and he has chicken fried steak, eggs, and hash browns. And he takes a bite of the chicken fried steak and almost faints because it is so good. And it's got the gravy that goes with your biscuits.
Oh, yeah.
And he is just having a ball.
Oh, they can't believe the steaks. And this one woman got one of the giant 72-ounce tomahawk steaks at one of the famous Texas, you know, restaurant. And they're just blown away by the steaks and the just everything. They can't believe the Texas barbecue.
Yeah.
They went to a famous barbecue place, and they just said, you never get food like this anywhere in Britain or Europe. Just never.
I saw one guy who has already gone back home, and he's having a British barbecue, and he had been to Texas. He had gone to our grocery store, H-E-B, and he said,
yeah,
I came back with the secret recipe. And he had all these seasonings that we see in our grocery store every time we go, and he's just dousing the meat that he's got on this grill with this secret recipe. And he came back with bottles of it. I mean, it's humorous because we don't know how good we've got it. But
right,
if we return to topic, we are allowing the goodness of this nation, what we stand for, what we stood for. Excuse me. That was a Freudian slip, I guess you would say. What we used to stand for was life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And when Trump ran for office, he campaigned on Make America Great Again. He had trademarked that slogan back before 2016, so it was his to have, and everybody was all fired up. We're all patriotic. Now we're celebrating our sovereignty. We're fixing to celebrate. Well, we just celebrated our 250th anniversary as a nation, and we're all excited and patriotic. Or are we? Because everything Trump and his administration has done has been to make Israel great again, not America. We are a second-class citizen compared to the wants and the desires of what Israel wants to accomplish. And the fact that J.D. Vance actually took a chance, I think it was some kind of whitewash deal, but to say that Israel is on the verge of losing our allyship by criticizing what we're doing, trying to negotiate an end to the conflict with Iran, and saying that Israel is a pariah, basically, but it's falling on deaf ears. He may be positioning himself to run for president and gather the votes from those who are disenfranchised with what Israel is standing for and doing and the atrocities that they're committing. But is he going to change spots? Is a leopard going to change spots? Or is he going to return to continue, if he's elected, to be Israel firster? These are questions that we're going to find out, I guess, in a couple of years, but until then, we are lied to on a daily basis about what's going on in Israel, in Gaza. And next week, when Pat and I come back, there are some heinous activities that have been perpetrated on the tent cities. And we're going to expand upon that and the Greater Israel Project, a number of other things to continue exposing the atrocities and the fact that they are never ending in Israel. Pat, thanks for coming on and being a guest, and I will see you again next week, my friend.
All right, Gary, thank you.
Okay, that's going to take care of this week's program. Pat and I want to thank you for tuning in and giving us an hour of your time. We greatly appreciate it. And as always, I pray you will tune in again next week at this same time. Tune in and discover the power of prophecy.